program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Beloved are those who follow the letter of the law of God. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, this is the most listened to show on 1240 AM. It's now time for...
Oh, you got to me. Listen up, Jesus is on the air.
Yes, and that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we got a great show, and we love Jesus.
I feel like singing today. Is that
oh,
right?
John, please.
I just have to move.
You never used the money I gave you for lessons.
I want to join a choir. I want to be part of
a choir. We have just the guest for you.
You're kidding.
Yeah, Matt.
Matt?
Interview Matt. See if you think you could use this guy. We have. So,
want me to do a couple of scales?
Wait a minute. Let's introduce our guest.
I'll get some fish.
Wait, this is Matthew Chorus. Am I saying that right? And he's from St. Patrick's in Huntington.
Yes.
He is the musical director. I have to tell you, he's probably one of the talented musical directors I've ever heard of. He does his own renditions. You'll see. Listeners, don't leave. Stay. You'll see.
Because I like what you were talking about before the program, how music is the way to get even deeper into the experience that people have at
and we evangelize. One of the ways we evangelize is through music. That's why we have musical guests and cantors on the show.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you, Dr. Tony. Thank you, Dr. John, for having me on.
Thank you
thrilled
for accepting.
To be here.
Thank you for accepting. We're thrilled
we
that you're here.
We pay top dollar. You know that.
Oh, yes. So, yes, be happy to discuss, you know, all aspects of my ministry, which I think is an incredibly important one for the church. Music and liturgy go hand in hand all the way back to the very beginning.
Absolutely.
You know, the singing of psalms is always described in the scriptures as something that was done at any prayer meeting, service of worship, and that continues to be true through today. And one of the things that I feel most strongly about in my calling is, again, bringing the word of Christ to the people through music that is meant for the liturgy of the church, music that is rooted in tradition but also explores every single aspect of our daily lives through new expression, new compositions. I do compose music as well as perform, and I feel that my creative voice is most fully realized in the scripture, in the liturgy of the church, and that's where I feel that I can express myself most fully through that
Absolutely.
Kind of music.
And what better way is there to augment the scriptures with music?
Exactly.
And to fit it right in there. And that's what John tries to do.
And yes, and this is the church is really one place where music has a true purpose, that there is a meaning and use for music. It's not entertainment per se. It really has a function that affects every single person that experiences it to draw people closer to God.
This is a very important way to evangelize.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do, evangelize. And we're trying to find all different ways that evangelization could take place. And music is one of the perfect ways.
Now you create your original stuff, and I know you brought some music with it. Would you like to?
Yes, I think that would be a very good way to
start. Yeah,
let's try the first. This track is a piece that would be sung. Actually, it could be for any mass honoring the Blessed Virgin Mary. It would specifically the offertory text for Mary, Mother of God, New Year's Day Mass. This is Blessed Are You, O Holy Virgin Mary, one of my compositions, but using one of the texts of the Church's liturgy, an antiphon text.
Okay. And this is your original. Is an original.
This is a composition for two voices that would be sung. It's a short piece.
Oh,
before. That's beautiful. And you were talking before about the Gregorian chant and polyphony music. And maybe you could explain a little bit to the audience about what that is.
Yes. So the history of Western music, music from Europe, and our music today, is really the history of church music when it comes down to it. The first music that was really notated after Christ's time was Gregorian chants, mm-hmm. right? Late antiquity, early Middle Ages. That was the service music of the church, which accompanied, well, it was written to the text of the liturgy, the ordinary parts of the Mass, meaning the Lord have mercy, Kyrie eleison, the Gloria, glory to God in the highest, holy, holy, the Sanctus, mm-hmm. the Benedictus, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and the Agnus Dei, Lamb of God. So that's the ordinary part of the Mass. And then there's also texts that change for the particular liturgical feast or day in ordinary time. So that's a proper text to the liturgy of New Year's Day, the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. That text for the offertory would change according to the Church's rubrics for this weekend, the second Sunday in Lent, or, say, later on for the Feast of Pentecost, there would be a different text there, but a prayer text that's composed by Mother Church for that particular feast day that's meant to be sung. So this music is certainly inspired by chants, but also by what came after it, which was the musical style known as polyphony, which flowered during the Renaissance period. And polyphony means polyphony, many voices. So now there's only two voices there, but they're two independent voices that play off of each other in a sort of musical conversation, right? They come together at certain points, but then they split. And even with just those two parts, there's the beauty of an individual chant line in each of them. So that's where more than one voice comes together, chants into polyphony. And those two forms of music, chants and polyphony, are the kinds of music that are described in all of the church's documents and recommendations on liturgy as being the music that is the most universal, the music that speaks to us most fully, any nationality, any backgrounds. This music is timeless and universal, and which is why it's most appropriate for the universal church.
You know, mm-hmm. I've been reading the Psalms, and I'm so struck with the fact that they are so many thousands of years in age. Mm-hmm. And I've gone to the Catholic Underground run by the Franciscans of the Redul, and they sing the Psalms. And, you know, I thought, oh, this is so highfalutin, I can't put up with this. There's such peace that comes from that music. Even as I was listening to your song with the harmony and the things going, I could feel the peace of God in there. It's very special.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing that.
Oh, of course.
And the Gregorian chants, something that's not well known or well played.
I think the second statement that you had there, well played or well sung, that's the other issue of this, is that there's still, in many ways, this kind of music is a dying art, and that it's not well practiced. Even if it is, in some places, you know, incorporated into liturgy, most often there isn't that kind of widespread training to render this music properly.
But there are people. My major point is that there are people that do hunger for this.
Yes.
And they go searching for Gregorian chants and whoever specializes in it, so they can have it at their functions and stuff like that. It's a very interesting situation.
And on that point, especially, I would say, young people. I think this is something that young people are looking for. I know even as a child in church, many details of the homilies or the scriptures went right over my head. You know,
absolutely.
It's not something that I could, attune my mind into at that point. But the music, I understood right away. And I felt that in my heart right away, just along with the visual, you know, beautiful splendor of the church, the stained glass windows, the altar, marble, the music. Those are the things I remember most from my childhood and made the most lasting impression, I would say. You know, I was always aware of the pipe organ in the back of the church at St. Catherine's in Franklin Square. It was something that I was always very interested in. And I could even tell the difference back then, the difference between the pipe organ in the church and the electronic fake organ in the auditorium it was in those days. But I could tell the difference, and I loved the sound of the pipe organ so much more. And that was what caught me.
In your renditions, I think, when I heard you played them, you used the pipe organs.
You know, I don't want to lose the thought that young people are attracted to this. And I mentioned the Catholic Underground. You know, I've gone there on Saturday nights at Our Lady of Grace in the city on 90th Street, 7:30 at night, and they chant the Psalms. Do you realize there's about 500 people, all young people, seated on the floor, some of them kneeling in prostrate before the Blessed Sacrament, and just taken up by the beauty of that music? It really is quite special, and it's a lot better, different anyway, than this ta-da-ta-da-ta-do-ta-do-ta-da-ta-da, you know?
Right, right.
Okay, and that has its place,
There's a place for all different kinds of music, but I feel that chant and polyphony, the liturgy is their place and should be expressed and utilized to its fullness.
Do you have a second song?
I have plenty of other pieces. Next two tracks, The Glory of These 40 Days, that is a Lenten piece, and The Lord is Truly Risen is an Easter piece that would be sung. Actually, The Glory of These 40 Days we're singing this weekend at St. Patrick's in Huntington. The Lord is Truly Risen, that would be for the Easter Sunday before the entrance hymn. So that would be the very first thing that would happen on Easter Sunday. We'll listen to these two. And again, they're for two voices.
And you have a choir of how many people in St. Patrick's?
We have an adult chorale of 50.
Wow.
And a youth choir of 25. And we're always looking to expand. And we have been in my 4 years now at St. Patrick's. We have, our numbers have been expanding because it draws people in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And your talent. Your talent should not be overlooked.
Now, what's the first song?
So The Glory of These 40 Days.
Okay. So pretty. And yeah, that's the next one.
This is The Lord is Truly Risen now for Easter Sunday.
First song in Easter.
Yes.
The Lord is truly risen.
The Lord is truly risen.
The Lord is truly risen.
Alleluia.
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 Say something. This is the first time in 4 years I've seen such a big smile on Palmer's face. Believe me when I tell you, he is a grouchy old man like I am. But he has a smile from ear to ear. John, it's welcoming to see
the
that.
The music to me was just like angels singing and bells in the background.
And specifically for that piece, Easter Sunday morning, right, the gospel. There were two angels sitting at the tomb.
That's right.
Right, and then immediately following this in the liturgy would be the processional hymn. So right into Jesus Christ is risen today, and really, as I've found, by having excellent music for the two singers or for the choir, and sung well, that actually energizes the congregation in their own singing.
Absolutely,
and they're singing of the mass parts of the hymns.
Oh, it's amazing.
And these are original songs.
Yeah.
Yes, these are pieces that I've composed.
And you are singing on it.
And I'm singing the male vocal there.
You're not the high voice.
No. That is Katrina Montaigne, and she's one of our cantors at St. Patrick's in Huntington. It's and she's beautiful. Also the music director at St. Mary Long Beach? Is okay. that the name
oh,
of the,
or
the
Mary of the Isle?
Mary of the Isle. She's the music director there.
Good.
Is that right?
Yes.
John, I have to tell you, from what I know of Matt, he can make that organ dance. That's how well he plays the organ.
And we haven't heard any organ yet.
But you, I mean, I've heard it. It's amazing what he can do. It really is.
Well, one of the great things about St. Patrick's, the music program does have great support from the pastoral staff, from the pastor, Monsignor John Bennett, the whole pastoral staff, finance committee. And one of the things that's really helped the music program grow over the past year has been at St. Patrick's, the installation of a new pipe organ.
Oh,
we had a pipe organ that served faithfully for 50 years, but there was mechanical issue that was starting to take over the ability to play the instrument itself, and you know, serious issues that when we looked at them, we realized that this might be the time, rather than just patch what was there, to actually make improvement upon it. So the momentum around the pipe organ project actually developed into a full capital campaign of restoring the church, restoring the altar mural. We have a beautiful mural of the life of St. Patrick, painting the church, establishing an endowment fund for the school for the 50th anniversary. But the organ was really what started building the momentum for these other projects. And now we do have the pipe organ. And again, it's like that famous quote, build it and they will come.
Yep.
Right? Before the pipe organ, I had no organ students. Now with this pipe organ,
inspired.
Yes, I have 7 organ students now.
Is that
in
right?
The past year, 7 organ students have just seen the instruments, come forward from the congregation and said, this is something I need to do.
Yeah. And that's such a beautiful church. The windows, the stained glass windows are the apostles.
Yes. Yes.
And they're beautiful. And then they have one with the birth of Jesus. And then
in the transepts, yes.
Yeah, and they have the wing for the crucifixion. Really a beautiful church.
And just about the style, you could say those are a more modern style of stained glass, but it's modern but very mature and very refined in its style. It's really something, and something that is also connected to the beauty of the church's past art. So that's, again, where I kind of feel that my music lies, in that it's music connected to the past, but also forward-looking.
And it's
in its
challenging
expression.
Music. It's not the usual run-of-the-mill stuff.
Right.
It's challenging, and I know that hearts are touched by that. I know Tony thinks I'm crazy, and some listeners think I'm crazy.
I don't think you really
but
that
I,
crazy.
But I love all sorts of music, and this is really touching. Do you have any other thing else you want to play?
Yes, let's hear some organ. Actually, moving ahead, let's the improvisation on Veni Creator Spiritus.
Oh. What number is that?
Number 6, I believe. Number 6. We're actually going to listen to that. And this one's a little longer, but you do know the melody. Veni Creator Spiritus.
Yeah.
This is an improvisation, so not something that I've written down, but something in the moment that I sat at the console, and we can talk about that. I've actually taken part in a number of improvisation competitions, and one of them was very interesting in that it was, well, there's a whole story behind that, but why don't we listen to this first? And the volume of this one changes quite a bit, so...
Are you playing the organ?
Yes.
Veni Spiritus.
Veni Creator Spiritus.
Listen to this song.
Thank you.
more enjoyable for me, listening to the music or watching you react to it as it's being, you're living it as it's being played. It really is so beautiful.
I just have to mention something so that to put all this in perspective. Matt has, I think, a master's in music from Manhattan College.
Manhattan School of Music. It's one of the conservatories in Manhattan, one of the finest in the country.
And also he's an adjunct professor of music.
Yes.
At my favorite college, Hofstra.
Yes, Hofstra University, yes.
And so Matt is, you know, he's so young, but so gifted and so talented.
He's only 13, you know.
No.
He really is. I mean, and now, there's another thing I just want to mention. You have a talent with the organ. Now, I don't know if you have the song or anything like that, but I've heard it played where it sounds like there's all different instruments playing. It doesn't sound like it's coming from the organ. Somehow or other, I don't know how you do it through your magic or through your gifts. You make it sound like it's an orchestra there.
Yes, and that's one of the strengths of the organ. And especially with larger instruments, now that we have one at St. Patrick's, we've expanded and improved on it. And the organ itself and its construction, historically going back to, you know, the late Middle Ages, always had a variety of different tone colors meant to imitate other instruments. The main principal sound of the organ is meant to accompany singing, and it has a very vocal quality to it in the first place. But then there are other pipes that are built conically or have reed resonators inside of them so as to make them sound like trumpets. Right? You can make, there's a pipe that sounds like a trumpet or an oboe or a bassoon.
And I don't think too many organists know about that because you're the first guy I ever heard do this.
There's one piece on here. It's Handel's Hornpipe. And the fourth track, and that whole piece is built on a play between the full organ and the sounds that are meant to sound like trumpets and trombones.
This is
the Handel's Hornpipe, the fourth track.
Okay, and we're going to have to make this the last one because we have to move on to some other things in the program.
We do a saint and stuff like that.
We'll just hear a little bit of this.
Okay. We'll play the whole thing with Tori.
I'll play the whole thing with Tori. Get the full gist.
There are the trumpets.
Yeah.
And here are trombones.
Wow.
Truly
you're
amazing.
You're so creative, and you have a wonderful gift. And it's amazing how God evangelizes people from all different kinds of ways. And the quality and the beauty of the music here is so just so filled with God.
Even those that criticize us for playing Palmer's music have to admit today, and I'll get emails, that this was magnificent. Really was, and I'll be the first to admit it. But you got to promise one thing.
Yes.
The show, an hour is not long enough for you. You've got to promise us you're going to come back.
Okay.
You promise?
I'd be happy to, yes.
Okay.
And, you know, I want to show a contrast between the beautiful music through which God attracts people.
Yes.
And the silly ways in which he can, through his sense of humor, attract people.
Why not?
I received something during the week from a nun who has retired to the Franciscan mother home in Providence, Rhode Island. And these are things from the church bulletin and some of the faux pas. When I was a kid, they used to have these marquees, you know, by the movie house. Yeah. And one still remembers, still sticks in my memory. It shows how old I am. It was Mother wore tights and selected shorts, which I thought was kind of a nice little silly combination.
Yeah. By the way, he is old. Just so
there's
know.
No question about that. For example, the sermon this morning, was printed actually in a church bulletin. The sermon this morning is Jesus Walks on Water. The sermon tonight is Searching for Jesus. That's silly. I like that. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our community. Smile at someone who is hard to love. Say hell to someone who doesn't care much about you. And they forgot the O and hello, you know.
Oh, yes. I like the one that you had with the choir rehearsal or the... there was one about choirs.
Middle or bottom?
Yeah, we'll find out. They were so cute. Oh, and this is... I don't think I read this one.
Oh.
8 new choir robes are currently needed due to the addition of several new members and to the deterioration of several older ones.
He's looking at him and I when he read that.
Potluck supper Sunday at 5:00. Prayer and medication to follow. Mm. You have to have a silly sense.
Very interesting. Mm.
But, you know, it's just the contrast. And I hate to go from the sublime to the ridiculous. But I have a knack of doing that.
You're good at that. But it was good. So should we get on with the saint and with the...
Meditation. Matt, we do this every program. And... And people like it because Tony has a knack of picking out saints that many people are not aware of.
No, I'm sure you're not going to be aware today.
Yeah, but even the beautiful music you brought to us today, many people are just not aware of
it. They don't know
that.
About this.
Right, no.
And it's so, you know, it's so what we try to do is find all different ways to touch people. Yeah. And we have an anonymous person who sends and writes a reflection for us each week.
Right.
And Tony gives me the privilege of reading it.
Because I'm from Brooklyn, and my pronunciation is very accented. Okay. So John has very good Queens pronunciations.
Very good. Very good.
Is that part of the banners? I don't know. I got to think of that.
I don't know.
No, it was good. It's a compliment.
God, thank you. God put Abraham to the test. See Genesis 22. Verses 1 and 2. And it's, of course, the scripture for this coming Sunday. And it was quite a severe and difficult one. Would Abraham lead his son to be the sacrifice offered to God? Abraham, having full faith in God, made all the preparations to do so. When God saw Abraham's fidelity, he intervened to spare Isaac. Abraham proved himself to be our father in faith. There would come another son who was led to sacrifice Jesus. But this time, the obedience that was necessary was to include the actual deed. God the Father did not intervene in the ways of men. Instead, he allowed his son to suffer the full brunt of man's cruelty. So Jesus died on a cross, but because of such obedience on the part of Jesus, an obedience born out of love, death, sin is now overcome. What men wanted to make a disgrace becomes the means of pure grace. The cross leads to the resurrection. Death is defeated by life. That is, by obedience, by love, true love. And what about us? When we listeners are put to the test, Is there such obedience, such love as shown by Abraham, by Jesus? In the face of such life tests, they trusted God's plan. Do we give God's plan a chance to happen by being as faithful, as obedient, and as loving? It is in dying to ourselves that we are born to eternal life. Don't be afraid to die to self-interest, self-centeredness, selfishness, to sin. Don't be afraid, because God always brings life, a new and better life, to the one who is willing to be faithful, obedient, and full of true love. And I bet you have music to that, to go with that in some ways.
Oh, there's certainly a Lenten or Holy Week aspect to that, and yeah. Not on my CD currently.
We're not going to play something now. Yeah.
But it just goes to show that God does put us to the test.
Yes.
And we never know when we're being placed into that test. No, and I just can't help but think about all the massacres that are going on today with all the Catholic religious that are Christians that are putting themselves into Jesus' hands and being massacred. It's amazing.
It's not just the touching. 21 who were beheaded, which was horrific, but the people who are being kidnapped, young women put into slavery.
I pray for them every morning.
Terrible things.
Every morning I pray for them. But I know there's got to be a master plan in God's mind.
Well, God will intervene the same as he did with Abraham.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's go on with the saint of the day. And the saint of the day is Saint David. Not the Saint David that we all really know, but Saint David from Wales. That's
David or Daniel?
No, Saint David.
David.
Actually, he's the only patron saint from Wales of the Roman Catholic Church. So David, he was Welsh. And he was the son of a Welsh prince. So he could have had a life of merriness like many do. His mother's name was Norm, and she too became a saint. So it's a mother and a son deal here. David is thought to have been born in the year 520 near the present town in Wales. The ruins of a small chapel dedicated to his mother can be seen near the cathedral that bears his name. The story of his life was not written down until about 500 years after his death. So then you could imagine probably a lot of material and a lot of issues were lost. And so, even so, he was certainly a very holy man and is the only Welsh saint to be officially recognized in the Roman Catholic Church. So he's got something going on here. For lunch, they ate bread and leeks with salt. For lunch the next day, they again ate bread and leeks with salt. And again the next day, and the next day, always the same meal, bread and vegetables and a little salt thrown on it. That was all David allowed his monks to eat. So that was the sacrifice, I guess. If you were a monk who enjoyed your food, you'd have been much better off in a Benedictine monastery. For Benedict believed that they should have proper meals. David thought monks needed to live a much stricter life. So besides making them always have the same meal, he never allowed them to drink wine or beer. The only beverage they ever drank was plain old water.
Yuck.
That is how he got his nickname, David the Waterman. And that's why they call him David the Waterman. He's better known as David, the patron saint of Wales. It is said that when he was a young man, he went from his homeland to the island in southern England to study with a wise old teacher named Paulinus. He taught David about the Bible and helped him to understand the teachings of Jesus. When Paulinus was getting old, he started to go blind. It is said that David then touched his eyes, and once again Paulinus could see. David was made a priest and returned to his homeland, Wales. He built no fewer than 12 monasteries. Wow. These included one in England and one at the place of the far west of Wales, which was then known as Menevia. That was when David himself settled, and now St. David's Place. Life in David's monastery was strict, not just with regard to food and drink. Most of the day had to be spent in silence, and no sleep was allowed between Friday evenings and Sunday mornings.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if I could do something like that.
You can. You only sleep 3 hours a night anyway.
And David did not let his monks use any oxen or horses to plow the fields. Each monk was his own ox. He must pull the plow himself. This is strict stuff we're talking about here.
Hey, I thought the army was bad.
He himself would often pray throughout the night rather than going to bed. He also had a very strange habit. Sometimes he would stand up to his neck in icy water just to test to prove that he could do this without complaining. Despite all this odd stuff, he was much loved by everyone who heard him preach. He must have had a wonderful voice as well, as our guest does.
Huh?
And that's how I equated him with you.
because
But I didn't picture you standing in cold water.
Unfortunately, no.
One day, there was a huge meeting in Wales at a place named Briefy. Thousands of people came to hear their bishop speak. But because the crowd was so big, it was impossible for everyone to hear what was being said by this bishop. First one bishop tried, and then another. But old Paulinus was in the crowd. He remembered his pupil David. "Let David speak," he said. "You'll be able to hear him." At first, David didn't want to. He was only a priest and not a bishop, and he was humble. But he prayed to God and then spoke clearly. Everyone, even those at the far edges of the crowd, could hear what he had to say. It is said that while he was talking, a white dove flew on his shoulder. People took this as a sign that God liked what he had to say. A much stranger story says that before he started to speak, he put a handkerchief on the ground. When he stood on it, the ground under him rose up, and David was soon standing high enough to be seen as well as heard by everyone. Imagine that. After this, David was made not only a bishop, but an archbishop. Who wouldn't be? And head bishop of Wales. He became highly regarded throughout the South Wales, where 50 churches bear his name. For many years, his Saint's Day was celebrated as a religious festival. Later, it became a national festival among the Wales, and St. David's Day is now celebrated by the Welsh people all over the world on March the 1st.
Tomorrow.
And so tomorrow, we will be celebrating St. David's
Day. See how timely he is.
See?
Yes. He's right on target.
Now, I take it that this was in the days before the church sound system.
Yes.
So we couldn't just flick the switch for that. Yes.
Making its way into
and they didn't have a pipe organ.
Maybe
they did.
What year was that again?
500.
No, they probably would not have had a pipe organ. But they would have had a school of singers. They would have had singers, yes.
The whole community was 520, by the way.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, 520. But, you know, he does have strict standards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as you were talking and as you were, you know, projecting, I got the idea that you rest on strict standards, and that's why you're so talented, because the talents that God gave you, just like the talents that he gave David for speaking, you are using them.
And they need to be cultivated and developed. And that's the real way to do that is practice.
Practice.
Yes, and that's the real hidden work of this kind of ministry, in that it takes hours and hours of practice.
Sure
it really does.
And
focus. So,
I'm impressed.
There was something I wanted to say, though, about the... I know the reading was, again, dealing with... God's testing, right?
Yes, yes.
God's testing. And that somewhat ties into, though not anywhere on the level of severity as what the Christians in the East are dealing with currently, but somewhat in the same vein of the reading in terms of a test, and I mentioned it, the improvisation contest. I was actually a finalist in last year's national contest of organ improvisation.
Wow.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
that,
I could see why.
That piece on Veni Creator Spiritus that we heard, that was all playing in the moment, not composed. And that's what I was doing for this competition. They give a melody, and you have to create a 15-minute piece based on that melody, and then there's an audience and judges.
Aye.
And this contest was in Boston. I had placed first in the semifinal rounds, and the final round was to take place later in the week. This was Boston at the end of June, and my wife was 9 months pregnant.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
And what do you know? Of course, it was something that was always a possibility in the back of my mind. The one thing that I was, you know, worried about, that yes, she went into labor as I was up in Boston. And I had to make that choice right there, and I felt like that was my test, that I was in Boston for this reason only, to have that be presented to me, to have to make that choice. And I was so worried about having to make that choice, but then when it did come up, it wasn't even a difficulty at all. I knew exactly what I had to do, and I left the competition, and I went right back down to be with my wife. I missed the competition, but I was there for the birth of my child. And to support
my
wife.
That's something you'll remember for the rest of your life.
Yes, and I feel so good about that. And I know that that was the right thing to do. And not that... I doubt I would have stayed. I doubt I would have stayed. But there are some people that I'm sure would have stayed.
I'm
and
sure.
That's what I had to be confronted with at that moment. God put
that
me in that
test.
Situation.
Yes.
And I'm impressed with how you are so immersed in music. You found God in there, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Yeah. And when you pray and play, don't you feel his presence?
Yes, absolutely. One of my, again, experiences later, when I had already decided that I was going to be involved in music, there was my first year of college at Hofstra. Our piece that we were performing in concert was Maurice Duruflé's Requiem Mass, a large-scale composition, new modern harmonies, but using the Gregorian chant melodies for each part of the Mass. And it was fine in concert, but then one of our choir members' mothers passed away, and she asked if we could come and sing for her funeral Mass. And we sang the piece, one of the movements, In Paradisum, May the Choirs of Angels Lead You to Paradise. We sang that at the funeral Mass, and that's when I really felt the power of that piece in the context, and I felt Christ's presence in the room, consoling presence. And
Was that an aha moment?
That was a major aha moment,
was
yes.
I've been searching for that throughout
the
whole show.
We were in tears, every single one of us, but I feel I can point to that moment and say that's when I knew that this is the ministry for me. This is something that I need to do every minute for the rest of my life.
I was searching for this throughout the whole show.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And we know you may have another song or two that you want to bring to the attention of our listeners. Why not? We got time
for
one or two more.
Okay.
We usually pray for healing, but I believe music is healing.
It's healing.
Okay.
So please.
How about two more pieces?
Go ahead.
Okay. One of these, the fifth track is the choir of St. Patrick's, as well as myself singing with our orchestra, which we do collaborate with for concerts and special events, and it's the prayer Nunc Dimittis, the Song of Simeon.
Uh-huh.
Lord, may I now, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your glory, a light to the people, your nation, Israel, right? And is my setting of that.
What
so,
cut is that?
Number 5, yes.
Thanks, poor Trevor. Saint Simeon. And this is the choir.
Yes, myself and the St. Patrick's choir.
Yes. Trevor has been working so hard this hour, and I want to make sure we get in a plug for his day coming up. Bring
it on.
Thank
you.
No. Put it on.
Put it on. Put it on.
Put it on. Absolutely. Put it on, because you're having a day of music, right?
Yeah.
Gospel.
Yeah.
And again,
church.
Just another area, another way to attract
people.
And
Trevor was a featured guest of ours 2 weeks ago.
Last week. Trevor, put it on.
Okay. It'll be a minute, a second.
Oh, sure.
Got it?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Join Ace and the Preacher Man for their fifth annual concert. Also celebrating 14 years together on the radio and their fifth annual concert and celebrating 14 years together. Taking place Saturday, March the 28th, 2015, location at the One Way Church of Christ, 216-11 Merrick Boulevard, where Bishop and Sister Tucker will be the host pastor. That's taking place Saturday, March the 28th, 2015. You're having people like the One Way Praise Team, the One Way Sanctuary Choir, Remnant Praise and Worship, Elder Marion Jr., and Leaning Brothers, and many, many more. Come hear such artists as B. Renee. Janice Lavon.
I can remember the first time my heart rang for you.
Taking place March the 28th. Doors are open at 4 p.m. Program starts at 5 p.m. There will be food and drink on sale. Bishop Walters will be there. Also, Divine Design by Smiley. Come join us March the 28th. 2015. Doors are open at 4 p.m. Program starts at 5 p.m. Looking forward to see you there.
And I went there 2 years ago, and it's quite a treat. And you have something coming up?
Oh, yes. Yes, at the Church of St. Patrick, we do have a concert on May 31st, featuring Mozart's great coronation mass in honor of the Blessed Mother, with orchestra and the choirs and myself, May 31st at St. Patrick's Huntington. There's more information about our music ministry at St. Patrick's at our website.
Can you give the website and the phone number, too, if you have it?
Yes. The website is St. S.T. Patrick, so S.T.P.A.T.R.I.C.K. Huntington, H.U.N.T.I.N.G.T.O.N. Music, M.U.S.I.C., St. Patrick Huntington Music dot Weebly, W.E.E.B.L.Y. .com with more information on our concerts. The phone number is 631-385-3311 and my extension is 365.
So that's 631-385-3311, extension 365.
Exactly.
Okay.
And
so you got
Matt,
that,
we got to thank you. We're running out of time.
Oh, yes.
We got to thank you so much for being here. What a pleasure.
Yes, and thank
and
you for having me.
Don't forget your promise. You're coming back.
Yes.
There's a lot more we got to do.
I know, plenty.
Thank you, Trevor.
Trevor, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community.